Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
Hello, guys. Welcome to Investing Uncensored. I'm your host, Andre Stewart. And today I want to talk to you guys about the Corona times. From my understanding and talking with many different people and my friends in my group texts, not too many people understand what coronavirus is and how it's killing people. People act like it's AIDS or something. And, you know, once you get it, your life is over. And they don't want to be around you, or they're scared to get it for so many different reasons. And I get where they're coming from. No one wants to die. I get that part. But people don't understand why they're dying. And they're saying, oh, now it's killing more black people, or now it's killing these type of people, or this particular demographic. And what people aren't understanding is that, for those that don't know, coronavirus is pretty similar to a common cold or a flu, except it's very severe and there's no treatment or cure for it. Like, you can go take Theraflu or something like that for a cold. The coronavirus doesn't have anything like that. So like a cold, if you don't treat a cold, it can eventually turn into pneumonia. And pneumonia, obviously, you know that it can kill you over time. So that's pretty much what coronavirus is like. It's like a severe cold that goes untreated, and then it turns into pneumonia and it collapses the lungs. And that's why you hear the president always talking about ventilators. We need more ventilators. That's why Tesla's creating ventilators. You know, General Motors, everyone is trying to create ventilators because people are getting sick. You know the number of people that have coronavirus, and they need ventilators once it gets to the point of where it's gone past them not be able to treat it from home. You know what I mean? Like anybody else catching a cold, and it gets more severe, they have to go to a hospital. So that's the case. So people are going to the hospital and there's not enough equipment. There's not enough ventilators to put the people on once it gets to the point of where it reaches the lungs and they can't breathe anymore. And so that doesn't have anything to do with color or anything like that. That's just simply being in a neighborhood or an area that doesn't have enough equipment to support the load that the healthcare industry is taking on right now. And so now places like New York had a high population. So it got hit really bad, just like California did, but New York got hit the worst. So they didn't have enough equipment. And so now that is moving towards Louisiana, which has always been undersupported, in my opinion, in many of the areas. And it has a very high population of black people in that area. And so the same thing is moving through Georgia. So in my opinion, I grew up in the South. So I always felt like the South was always undersupported for various reasons. So now we're seeing a higher death toll in certain areas because there's not enough equipment. And I don't know how fast the ventilators are getting pushed to a market like Louisiana or Georgia. And next is going to be Florida. So I don't know how fast, you know, the equipment is going there. I know, for instance, California, we don't have a death toll as significant as New York was. So we're now sending ventilators. I think we sent 500 ventilators to New York. So there's a difference, right? We're supporting New York with ventilators and they don't even need them as much. But for some reason, ventilators aren't going to Louisiana and Florida from L.A. I mean, from California. I don't know why. You know what I mean? I don't know what goes on in that. I don't work in that industry. But that's what it is. So coronavirus is, again, like a common cold that's very severe and turns into pneumonia or whatever it turns into that affects the lungs. And that's what's killing people. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the virus can't see color. It doesn't see demographic. So it goes back to the equipment, and that's what we're lacking. And that's why, you know, so many people in the health industry are like, we need ventilators, because that's what's killing people. So don't think because you get the coronavirus and you survive from it, you're contaminated for life and people don't want to be around you. And it's just I think a negative connotation surrounding corona and what it's going to do to, you know, you for the rest of your life. There's not enough information out there for people to read up on, or they just not reading up on it to know that it's not like AIDS and it's not going to be in your body for the rest of your life and you're not going to have a normal life. So, you know what I mean? I just wanted to educate you guys that didn't know what it was and how it was killing people and why it's affecting certain demographics more than others. It's just a matter of being undersupported and not having enough supply for the market, you know, supply and demand. So that's just how it goes. But, you know, with coronavirus, you know, the whole idea of today is to talk to you guys about how to invest during the corona times and how to invest post the corona times. And so obviously, if you guys have been following the markets and the trends in the stock market, you'll notice that we are at record lows. I mean, Great Depression numbers. They're even worse than that. And so with those type of lows in the market, that provides opportunity. And so there's going to be ample opportunities for people in the corona times to significantly change their life moving forward. You know, this is going to be one of the greatest times in history for wealth transformation. So you've got people that are going to get richer and people that are going to get poorer in this economic climate. And so you can be on either side of that spectrum. And at this particular time, you don't even have to have a lot of money to be on the upside of that spectrum, because I'll give you an example. For instance, I pay attention. I was a banker for 10 years, so I kind of know when certain things happen. You don't have to be a banker to know this, but I just know, I kind of know when certain things happen, what that effect's going to be on gold or what that effect's going to be on the particular stock market. So in my case, when the Fed announced zero interest rates, that Friday I decided to buy some option contracts in gold. So, you know, I knew gold was going to go up, because historically, when you have zero or below interest rates, then gold rises. You know what I mean? Just because people buy gold when they're in fear. That's just how it goes. So I knew this. When we hit zero, I was like, okay, gold is going to spike. You know, I was like, let me test it out. So I took $80 and I bought some gold contracts. And within, I did it that Friday. So then when Monday opened up, within 20 minutes of the market opening, I had made $1,000. So, you know what I mean? It doesn't take you being rich. It just taking you having education and being in the right place at the right time. And we're now in the corona times. And so that was just something that me having the knowledge, knowing that gold is going to go up. So then I took $1,000 and I just started diversifying and buying other stock options to diversify my portfolio. And so now, if people have been watching my YouTube channel, I'm doing Corona Chronicles on my YouTube channel. And one of my first videos, I said, my goal is to make $100,000 just trading options. And so I took my $1,000 that I made and I just started, you know, buying calls and puts and spreading my money throughout my portfolio. So I know that I should be able to reach that $100,000 when this is all said and done, because I've done my research. So, you know, to give you guys an idea of one particular stock that can do that for you is SPG. SPG, looked up the ticker symbol. It was performing at about $175, so roughly about $145, $150 for the past 5 years. considering what's going on, it dropped down to $43. I was like, oh my God. So look at that. You got a stock that's trading at $43 that averages $155. So worst case scenario, the stock is going to appreciate back to the, and that was the resistance point. The resistance point was about $155, but the stock was trading at $175. So for the last 5 years, the stock did not drop below $155. It always stayed above that for the last 5 years. So looking at this and me knowing this, I was like, you know what? It just makes sense to buy SPG right now for a call price of about $145, $135, because the resistance point is $155. So I know at some point in time in the next 5 years, this stock will potentially rise back to at least that point, because it didn't break through that point until the coronavirus times came. And so knowing this, say for instance, you do the math. One option contract is 100 shares. You buy 10, that's 1,000. If this stock goes to $100, which it should, it should go from $44 back to $155 at the least. So 100 times 1,000 gives me $100,000. And so the strike price was 218. So you do the math on that, 218 times 10 was about, I think it was $2,700 for the cost. So you got 1,000 shares for $2,700 of a stock that normally trades at $155. So just think about it. If you would have bought the stock outright, you would have had to spend at least $45,000 just to get the amount of what I'm saying to you. So doing an option contract, you get to benefit from the stock going up without even owning the stock. You pretty much do your research on how to do options, but I'm giving you an example of how you can make $100,000 based off one stock. You know what I mean? So I think that's a good one too. I'm not a financial advisor, but you know what I mean? Do your own charting out and you can see that that's a good one to buy. But I also bought MGM, and I know MGM is going to be there. I bought MGM at $8 and it's now $15. And everyone knows MGM is not going anywhere. They have the summer league, you know, they have boxing, everything's done at the MGM. And then I even saw him after I purchased it. He just so happened to come on CNBC and say, you know, we sold off such and such and such, and we have about 2 billion liquid so they can ride the storm out. So that gave me even more confidence to know that it's going to be all right. And so these are the things that I think people should be doing in the corona times. You know what I mean? You got to have a balance. I know you got to relax, but if people want to significantly change their life, they should be doing things like that. And so for me, I got caught up in watching the news all the time, and I don't typically watch the news because it's never anything positive. But, you know, considering my life at this point in time revolves around the market, whether it be day trading, buying stocks and doing real estate, it's all contingent upon how the market goes. So I'm paying close attention to what's going on. I'm also tired of being in the house on lockdown. And so I look at the news all the time, but it started getting to me at some point. And that's the thing about watching it all the time and being on lockdown, it starts to affect you. So, you know, by all means, I'm doing my research on where should I move next, right? That's kind of what you got to do when you're investing. You got to try to predict what's going to happen and what's coming. So I watch the news a lot, but like I said, I had to come up with a balance. So now I work out for 2 hours, not 2 hours. I work out for an hour. I do my research on stocks I want to buy. I do my research on what real estate markets to get in, because that's what you're going to do post coronavirus. And that's because of unemployment. And I'll get into that in a minute. And so then I balance my time with doing work and, you know, just relaxing, because I was getting inundated with so much information about just so much negative stuff and just focusing on the market so much that it was getting to me. So in corona times, you guys should be doing the same thing. You should be making yourself better and not just doing Netflix and chilling, eating and gaining weight. You know what I mean? If you think about 24 hours in a day, you don't have to worry about that commute anymore, that 2 hour commute or whatever your commute is. Now you can take that time and set it aside to make yourself better, whether it be working out. And even if you have a job, you're not spending 8 hours on the job anymore. I mean, you're going to be at home working, but some people might have more work to do than others, but for the most part, the whole economy shut down. So you can't be doing too much work. And so you got time. You got time to set aside. I'm pretty sure people aren't sleeping 8 hours a day. And if you are sleeping eight more hours, then you need to cut that back because you can take a nap. So it's like, if you want to come out of this in a better economic situation, you need to structure your time to where you're looking at the stock market, you're doing your research on options. There's so many videos on YouTube that you can watch now versus trying to do what I did when I was 22, when they didn't have YouTube like they do, and you can just watch a video and learn how to trade stocks. They didn't have a bunch of DVDs out there that you can buy and learn how to trade stocks. Now you can just take 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day and hop on YouTube, and someone's going to break down how you can do options. There's a guy that shows you how to do options on Robinhood on YouTube. Go watch the video. I've passed that video out to a couple of my friends. So, you know, I want you guys to understand that during the corona times, you can significantly change your life physically, mentally, and, you know, financially, just by creating a balance and just by organizing your time the right way. So during the corona times, the first thing that you should do is figure out what stocks you want to buy. So right now, stocks are at an all-time low. So it doesn't really, and they bounced back in the past 3 days, which I think is a little bit premature. And the market is very volatile. And right now we're getting good news, and that's why I think the market's performing the way it is. But we're going to test the lows again. It may not go down to what it was, you know, back like March 12th or 13th when we bottomed out because of the lockdown. But we're going to test the lows again. And the potential for it to reach that point again is significantly high because of unemployment. You know, right now we're at 6.6 million. Job report comes out tomorrow. I'm thinking the number is going to be about 10 million. So you got to think about, right now we're in a health crisis. Once this health crisis is over, if we have an unemployment that's 15 to 20%, we're going to be in an economic crisis. So the gains that we're seeing right now, they could potentially be wiped away as soon as we're back online. As soon as the market opens back up, as soon as the economy is open and we're going back to work, it's not going to just snap back. And people are saying it's going to be a V. I don't see a V. I don't see that happening at all. I think people are going to be slow to want to be around each other, because it's not like when, just say Trump wants to open up the market May 1st. People still have the virus. People can still get it. You know what I mean? The only thing that we're trying to do right now as a country is slow down how many people are hitting the healthcare system. And that's all we're doing. But the virus is going to be here. There's no vaccine for it. I haven't heard anything about any treatments. I heard something that's out there, but there's nothing that we can go in the store and buy right now. So I think if you didn't get in the market right now or back in March when it was at its low, I think you still have a chance. So in between now and then, you should be doing research. Like I'm saying, you know, I think it's pretty simple on how you should choose what you want to buy. Think of it as, what's an essential business? Airlines are getting bailed out. Airline stocks are super cheap right now, so you can hop in those. Retail is getting killed right now because no one's out. Some of the retail might change. You know what I mean? Retail might not be the same because people in this lockdown have found ways to get what they're getting right now, right? You know, people using Amazon. Amazon's blowing up. So I think that may be a whole different business model. But you can still look at some companies that are retail that are going to bounce back, you know? So you can hop in retail. Automotive was trending something amazing. But now that's, you know what I mean? That's going to bounce back. So these are what I think you should look at in terms of what you should buy. So just look at essential businesses and look at the chart, like get a chart, use E-Trade or use Robinhood and chart out the last 5 years. I would do a 1 year chart or a 3 month chart so you can see where the bottom was and look and see that the market is not going in a V, it's going kind of, you know, who knows how it's going because it's so volatile. But just know that the rally that we see right now is based on good news, it's based on stimulus, and it's based on things like that. There's no fundamental reason on why the stock market is going up. Like, nothing's changed. I mean, the unemployment is rising. So that can't be factored in at all on why the rally is happening. So I think, you know, don't look at the market and be like, oh man, it's going up. Let me hop in. Cause you're going to hop in. And again, you know, this is just me speculating. And based off me doing this for however long I've done it, I'm not a financial advisor. I chart things out just like they do. But, you know, most people say people aren't taking into account what's going to happen when everyone is back into, I guess, normal working mode when people are going back to work. I mean, with like I said, with a 10.3 million unemployment, I mean, who knows? It's going to be catastrophic. Right now, we're dealing with a health crisis and an economic crisis because there's never been a time in history where you've had a recession and a health crisis at the same time. So normally, when there is a recession, you can still stimulate the economy because people are out and they're still spending. So right now, they just, you know, handing out money to small businesses. So these small businesses, when the time is ready for us to come back online, there's places for people to go. I don't think they're factoring in the unemployment. I mean, so these people have been offline now for maybe 30, going on, it's going to be 60 days. Some companies aren't going to be here. So we don't know what percentage of that 10 million or 6 million right now, what that's going to be as far as unemployment goes. So this is why, I mean, like, for instance, California and New York combined, I believe it's 4% of the GDP of the U.S. economy. Those been shut down. And I know California, I don't see us coming back online in May 1st. I don't see that. So that's going to push us out even further to like June 1st. I have, and you know, if people have been to LA before, you know, LA is pretty much majority small businesses. The U.S. is ran off small businesses. So if we've gone offline 3 months, the likelihood of, you know, 25 or 30% of these businesses still being here, man, it's slim, man. So right now, what you're seeing in the stock market is a liquidity shock. If we come back online and 30 or 40% of the businesses in LA are gone and New York is going to be the same, then we're going to see a liquidity crisis because people are going to try to get liquid as much as possible. And that's when you're going to see the run on banks. So a liquidity shock with the people not really, you know, believing in the stock market and then businesses being shut down and people going and making a run on banks. That's when the crisis hits, man. And I know in December, I said, I predicted a recession. You know, that was based on just me doing deductions about economic data that I got from a forum. And I put a video on YouTube where I talk about it and I show what you can do to hedge in the next recession. And I said it could be February, March, whenever the case, but in our particular case, this recession came and it was kicked off by the coronavirus. And I said the housing market wouldn't be affected and it shouldn't have been affected. But considering what happened, now it is definitely going to be affected. And I say that to say, I mean, I think we're headed for an economic collapse. Some of us, if you're listening to this podcast right now, can kind of be ahead of that. You know what I mean? I try to tell people all the time on what they could do to change their situation so they're not adversely affected by what's coming. And that's what I did with the previous, you know, conversation I had about the recession. But now this is completely different. There's never been a time like this is an unprecedented time because two things like this have never happened at the same time. So that's why you see the volatility in the market because no one knows. No one knows what's going on. Even the people that predicted the recession, they could not see this. And so that's what my hesitation is on saying, you know, where I think the market's going to go because no one knows. It's so impossible to know because the reason I say that is because I think we should have shut the U.S. down at the same time. All 50 states should have been on lockdown. And then we opened up and we all came online at the same time. But now, as you can see, everyone's so optimistic about, and that's why you see the rally in the stock market. They're so optimistic because New York is, you know, the curve is flattening out. I mean, the curve is flattening out in New York, but the curve is increasing in Louisiana. Florida's next. It's going to hit Georgia. So I mean, you bring on one part of the economy. The people that, majority of the people that live in Florida move from New York. I lived in Florida for 10 years, so I know this. A lot of people, not majority, but a lot of people. So like, for instance, because we didn't shut the whole entire, you know, country down at the same time, we live in a bilateral / no borders country. For instance, my parents drive from Georgia to Tampa to go to church. Say for instance, someone at the church got it. My parents, you know, this is not a true story. They don't have it because they didn't go to church down there. But I'll just give you an example. So if they did, they took it back to Georgia, right? And then they gave it to people in Georgia. So you went from Florida to Georgia. Now Georgia has it. When I live in Orlando, I would drive the church in Tampa. Say I went to church in Tampa and I drove back from Tampa and I gave it to someone in Orlando. I had a couple of friends who lived in Jacksonville. Say I met up with my friend. They took it from Florida, from Orlando to Jacksonville. My auntie lives in Jacksonville. What if my grandma wanted to go see her from Georgia? Boom. And then my brother lives in Alabama. What if my brother goes to see my dad and my parents in Georgia? Boom. Now it's in Alabama. So it could be flattening out in New York, and that's great. But that doesn't mean it's not going to spike like it's spiking in other parts of the country. And that's what I think. We can't predict on what's going to happen. And that's why it's so hard to gauge. And that's why I'm telling people to just get liquid. Just period. Because you don't know what's going to happen. So be prepared for whatever. So right now, phase one of your investing should be taking advantage of the stock market on where it is right now. Right now, the stock market is the lowest is going to be for right now. You know what I mean? It's going to test the lows again. But it doesn't matter what position you get in right now, you can benefit from. Like I just gave you an example of SPG, and I gave you an example of MGM. At $8, MGM trades about 35 or 40 or even higher than that. I'm just thinking back. So it don't matter right now if you hop in at 15. It's still going to reach 33, so you can still make money. So any position that you get in right now, as long as you have funds, you can get in anywhere. No matter what it is. I mean, I think Delta was $10. I hopped in Delta, Valvoline. There's so many things that I hopped into that they're super cheap. So even if Delta goes to 15, it's like a $35 or $40 stock. Boom, you're going to make money. So I think ideally what you do right now is hop in something that you like. I think you focus on sectors that are going to rebound really well. Like, technology is going to be there. Like I said, airlines are going to be there. So pick some stock that you like, that you follow, that you want to support, and just hop in them because you're going to win regardless. And I think your strategy from that is you got to think about the phase two of the next strategy with, and this is not preying on people in a bad situation. I think this is actually beneficial to the U.S. You know what I mean? Because I think we will have another housing crisis, you know, so you got to think about it like this. If you have 10 million people on unemployment and they can't get jobs, a lot of them, who knows what the percentage is, they own homes. And so then some of these homes might go on foreclosure. And if you're liquid, you can be in a position to prevent people from going into foreclosure, which is helping them out because they might not be able to buy a house right now. I mean, they might not be able to, if they go into foreclosure, they won't be able to buy a house in 7 years. But if you come in right now and you save the house from going into foreclosure, they might have to move out of that house. You benefit from being able to take over the house for a fraction of the cost. They benefit because you can potentially give them some money to move out and go move somewhere else. And if you don't do that, they get to not go into foreclosure and they can rebound in 2 years and get another house. So you're helping them out. And then you might even, if you want to be, I've done this before. If you want to be helpful, then give them some money, man. If you have the extra capital available to do that. And so I think you benefit, the bank benefits because the bank don't want underperforming notes. And if we go into another crisis like we did, that's what's going to happen. So I think it's for every $1,000 of bad debt, the bank can lend $100,000. It's something, some number like that. So just, you think a bank wants a house that's $160,000? They definitely don't want the underperforming note. They want to get rid of it as fast as possible because then they won't be able to lend out money. And you know, with rates at zero, that's already putting the banks at a disadvantage. So you think they want zero rates and they want bad debt? No. So, you know, if people listen to what people are saying, like myself right now, we're telling people to get liquid, you can greatly increase your financial situation for generations. And this is where the wealth is transferred at. People that are rich and that are liquid, even people that aren't rich and that are liquid, they're going to be on the other end of the spectrum. They're going to be rich because they're buying stocks for pennies on the dollars right now. And then they're buying real estate. So, or they're going to buy real estate in the future. So one of the strategies that you can do, what I'm doing is right now I'm getting in stocks at a certain position. So say for instance, MGM goes from 8 to 15. I can take off my profits and reinvest at the $15 position and then take some of them proceeds and keep liquid. So when the housing crisis hits, because I think it's going to hit, then you'll be able to buy property. So you're doing both. Now you have an asset that's backed by collateral, which is the house. And then you have the stock market that, you know, the company is a great company. So you're backed and you're in a good position with those companies. And you've already made your money because you went from $8 to 15, now 15 or whatever. So you already made money. You're not losing at any point in the transaction. You're not going to lose in real estate or stock, depending on where you buy. And if you pay attention to the market. So I think that's what people should be doing as far as a strategy and trying to figure out what to do in the corona times. Like, use your time wisely, make your life better. So for me, you know, I'm taking classes at MIT and I'm learning Spanish and I'm paying attention to the stock market. I'm looking at what markets I want to get into, you know, and you base that off of the markets that get hit the hardest based on jobs, because you know that housing market is going to take a hit because people are unemployed. So you look at all these different factors. And so that's what you should be doing with your free time. And so, you know, a couple hours a day, I play video games. You know what I mean? I'm also working on my health and fitness. I work out too. So it's not like I'm just sitting around doing this kind of stuff all day. And at one point that's what I was doing. So you got to have a balance. But my goal is to come out on the other side of this way better than it was when I went in. And I don't think most people are doing that. I think people are just sitting around acting like this is a vacation, which for some people it is, but it shouldn't be, man, because the amount of negative overflow and shit that's coming once this virus is over or the lockdown is over, man, it's going to be astronomical. You know what I mean? Like, you got to think about the tens of millions of people who are going to lose their job. So you got the mental health problems that are coming from being in the house in isolation and on lockdown for however long we're going to be on lockdown. And so those people that, you know, you got people who are going to lose jobs. So the suicide rate might go up. And then you got the domestic abuse that's probably going up right now, which I'm, you know, just something I've seen the other day on TV. That's on the rise. So you got all of these different things that are going on in this particular time because people probably aren't, you know what I mean? They probably don't have a balance. People probably aren't working out. People aren't doing a bunch of different things that they could be doing. And so that's why I'm trying to give you guys different strategies on what you guys can do in the corona times. And I've had these conversations with my friends and a lot of people. But what pisses me off is like, I do this stuff to help other people out, right? And just like other people, my life doesn't suck. You know what I mean? But some people you tell stuff and they don't do it. So for example, people go to these seminars and, you know, the 10F growth conference and do all these different things and none of them ever do anything with it. I mean, interesting stat is that 3% of the people that attend these seminars actually do anything with the information that they learn from these seminars, which is startling. 3%? I mean, so 97% of the people that go waste time and they probably going to, you know, just to post on social media, doing it for the gram. That's a whole, man, that pisses me off because a lot of people out here are posing, going out here, written cards and shit like that. And that's, you know, they're got 80,000 followers and people believing that this person, no, man, that's pissing me off, man. That's another conversation. But back to what I was saying, 3% of the people are going to take advantage of all the things that they learn. People listening to this podcast right now, people watching my YouTube channel, Grant Cardone's channel, any channel that provides information on how to make their life better, you know, only 3% of people do that. I keep talking about that 3% because that's a super small number and a very large number of people that want to be mediocre and waste their time. All these people that are in certain economic situations complain about the people that have a lot of money, but nobody understands what those people did to get to that point. Nobody understands the struggle that I went through or the grind that I had to go through or the stuff that I'm telling you now. I've stayed up till 3 a.m. to catch the European market open just so I can see what the potential for the New York Stock Exchange to open up at, because it'll give you an indication of implied what the market's going to open at. So I've stayed up till 3 a.m. to figure out what my strategy is going to be and then turn around and wake up at 6:30 to make sure that I can implement the strategy so that I can get the stock at the right price. So because a lot of times, a lot of the volume happens in the morning and that's where you get most of the action at. And so if people don't know this, they don't know and they'll lose out on a lot of money. But this goes back to what I'm saying is like people want to complain about when people reach economic status of whatever magnitude they get, but they don't understand they didn't make the sacrifice like that person did to get there. And so I'm just saying that to be like, man, this information that you guys are getting, this man, people pay a lot of money for that kind of stuff. I didn't break down 100% on how you guys should go out there and buy option contracts, but I gave you examples on why you should buy options. You know what I mean? So take the data that you're getting from all the places that you get it from and do something with it. Don't complain about why this person is doing well or why they get this and why this and why this and why this. Don't ask why, man. Ask how. That's what the question should be. And people always want to be like, why don't they pay taxes? Ask how they don't pay taxes. And then real estate is how they don't pay taxes. You know what I mean? Like write-offs. There's so many different reasons on why things like this go on in America, and people that aren't educated complain about the people that have the most. The people that had the most did what they had to do to get the most. So one other tip I'll give you guys about investing in Corona right now, because I think it's important. You can buy single stocks. I'm going to use SPG, for example. If you buy an option contract is 100 shares for one contract. So if you buy 10 contracts, that's 1,000 shares. One share of SPG is $45, right? So, and you have that stock, you own that stock. So you got to wait for, you got to put up at least $45,000 to get to 1,000 shares. So who has $45,000 to put up right now besides someone who's super rich or someone at a hedge fund or something like that? Who has that kind of money? And even if you have that kind of money, who's out here spending it right now? Because what's going on and the economy is so unknown. So they're probably not even spending $45,000, right? So the next best thing would be to buy option contracts. You buy an option contract. I bought one. All of my contracts are for like January 2021. I got a couple June 2021. I got a January 2022. So you pretty much renting the stock. Why? And I'm only paying. So for instance, that $1,000 that I just told you about SPG is it was $2,800. So $2,800 for me to get 1,000 shares. If and when, and it should go from 45 to at least 125 or 135, which was the resistance point, or 155, which was the resistance point at some point in time in between now and 2 years. So I'm going to make the money between the 45 and that 150. So let's just say it goes to 145 and it's at 45. Do 100 times 1,000. That's $100,000 you just made in 2 years by doing nothing, and you paid $2,700 for it. That's the power of doing options. Instead of paying $45,000 and getting the same gain, you pay $2,700 and get the same gain. The only difference is you don't own it. You hop out and you made your money and you move on and buy something else. That's the beauty of it, right? You pay less now for the same return and someone paying more to hold on to it long term. But why do you need it long term if you made $100,000? Take that money and do something else with it. Buy real estate. And you know why? Because you can possibly avoid paying taxes, right? And then you wonder how people do it. That's how they do it, right? You make money from whatever your vocation is and you put it into real estate. And then you do a cash out refinance. which the money you get from a refinance on a cash out is tax-free. And that's what happens. And that's how people get richer and richer and richer and richer. That's one way. So I'm telling you guys, start with the two things that I just said. I can talk to you guys all day about different strategies on what to do, but I want to leave you guys with some simple things to do to take advantage in the corona times. Again, take out a piece of paper, write down a list of industries that you like, write down a list of industries that are essential, and then you take out companies that you like and you do your research on them and look and see if they're good investments. Like I mentioned right now, everything is going to be a good buy because of how low they have dropped in the market. So anything you get is going to be good. Be wary of companies that might go bankrupt because they're just going to get eaten up by the market. Because I think after this is over, I think our new normal is going to be different. And the reason why I'm saying this, I'm just without saying retail. Retail, I think there's certain companies in retail that are going to get eaten up because I think the way people shop and do business now is going to be completely different. And technology has bridged the gap. And that's why I think technology is also good, because we in this time have realized how important technology is. If we didn't have that, this would have been way worse than it is. So I think technology is good. Some retail is good. Airlines are obviously good. We're going to always need oil and gas. I think those are good, but be careful on which oil and gas you hop in. And then obviously automotive is going to be good. You know what I mean? I heard someone say the other day, they think commuting or, you know, carpooling and things like that is going to be a little bit different because people are not going to want to ride in the car with other people. So I think the automotive might come back up. So these are just different things that you hear, man. When you are in the industry and you're trying to learn more about it, you watch certain things on TV, you hear certain analysts say certain things, you pick up on. And that's why I think you should watch CNBC at some point in time during the daytime too, because you get to hear the analysts, you get to hear what other people are saying who are experts in their field and giving you, like Cramer, Mad Money. You just get certain insights that can kind of help you in your research on what you want to buy. So that's the first phase of what you should be doing. And then I think the second phase would be to write down certain real estate markets that are close to you or markets that you know coming up in the jobs report this week, next week, and for however long that are taking a hit. And so when you look at those markets are going to be the ones whose housing sector is going to get hit the most. And those are going to be the areas that you might want to think about targeting as far as your real estate goes and your real estate goals. So these are the two strategies that you guys should be doing right now. Hopefully you guys, you know, come out on the other end of it, man. Don't be at the bottom. Even if you lost your job, man, take the risk on taking $80 or $100, man, and getting at least one or two option contracts that are calls. Even if you can look at the market, man, if you want to guess after you've done some research on YouTube, I think you still have time to buy puts too. So you can buy, you know what I mean? These are all very detailed strategies, but I just want you to be able to benefit however you can in whatever your situation is. I took 80 to 1,000, which that 1,000 is going to multiply to whatever it multiplies to. And you guys can do the same thing. So thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Don't be a part of the 97%. Be a part of the 3%. Man, if you guys got any questions, feel free to shoot me an email, man. info@investfar.com. I want you guys to hit that up. I would give you my direct email, but I'm scared of getting bombarded, and I do a lot of business out of the email, and I don't want to be inundated with a bunch of emails, but I'll be sure to comb through info@investfar.com and answer any questions. But man, guys, take advantage of the time, do something good with time you have in the corona times, and you can turn a positive into a negative. So be safe, stay at home, so we can get out of lockdown sooner rather than later. Take care, guys.